This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The La Crosse River Valley Marsh is the home to dozens of species of wildlife. It's vital at times of flooding and when birds migrate. It's also a place people go to enjoy Mother Nature. But the marsh has also been a source of controversy over the years and a classic clash between those who want to develop on it and those who want to preserve it. In 1998, city voters overwhelmingly rejected building a road through the marsh that would have connected South La Crosse with the mall area. Earlier this year, the city and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources started negotiating the transfer of land the city owns in the marsh to the state. WPR's John Davis talked about the issue with La Crosse City Council member Dick Swantz, who chairs the city's Board of Public Works, and the DNR's Craig Thompson, a land program manager for the West Central District who works out of La Crosse. Thompson talks about how the negotiations started this year.
Those discussions started as a result of the Department of Transportation indicating interest in addressing the community's long-term transportation needs. And of course, it's been a perennial issue as to whether or not those long-term transportation needs can actually fit into the river valley or not as it relates to the La Crosse River Marsh. And so, much to DOT's credit, they pulled everybody together and said, hey, it's time to talk again. And our response was, from a Department of Natural Resources standpoint, John, was, well, we're happy to talk, but there is some unfinished business that needs to be taken care of. And namely, that's an additional layer of protection for the marsh, as was specified in an agreement between the City of La Crosse and the Department of Transportation and La Crosse County and the Department of Natural Resources many years ago. And so that's what brought us to this point.
And that is part of Land Use Plan 6, of my understanding. And that came about after the last referendum on the North-South Corridor, correct?
Yeah, Land Use Plan 6 actually predated the referendum. And so what had happened is we rolled up our sleeves at the end of the 80s and said, okay, it's time to develop a comprehensive land use plan for the La Crosse River Valley once and for all. And as I had indicated earlier, the four key participants in that planning study were the Department of Transportation, Department of Natural Resources, the City of La Crosse, and La Crosse County. And after literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, scores of public meetings, and years of effort, we hammered out a plan that not only identified the marsh as an area that was supposed to be protected long-term, but also identified a transportation corridor, which we believed at that time would solve the city's long-standing issues in regard to traffic flow from the central city to the northern part of the community. And then what happened is the community weighed in and said, well, via referendum, and said, well, we're not so sure. We don't like that. We don't like the fact that there are going to be marsh impacts. And so the referendum passed, which effectively prevented the city from contributing funds to the overall highway construction effort. And then the whole thing kind of went into suspended animation from that point forward.
Dick Swantz, from your perspective as a city council member, it's important to get this off the table. It's been years of inactivity for the most part, hasn't it?
Suspended animation is a pretty graphic term, but it really has been. It's been a decade at least where, from my knowledge, we have been sitting on an effort that essentially, I think one of the outgrowths of this whole thing was essentially to have some one party, DNR primarily, to be responsible for managing this beautiful resource. And so what came out of that was the work that was referenced by Craig with the county, city, DNR, and DOT sort of slicing this up a bit. And it's my understanding in the notes that I went back and looked at, it looked like the city's part of this thing was to view it from an economic development point of view. The county was looking at it from recreational point of view. The DNR obviously was looking at an environmental point of view, and DOT obviously was looking at it from a transportation point of view. And so what came out of that was this plan, but a part of it was to get these properties surveyed, identified, and in one party's hands. That's what we are in the process of doing right now. That's what has been sitting on a back burner, I'm afraid, for too long. And I can tell you that is happening. I mean, this has sort of fallen on the desk of the Board of Public Works, which I chair. And Councilmember Sequest and myself continually raise the question about status of this. And we have been sitting down and going over maps and making moves to essentially say there are going to be portions of these properties that the city is not going to want to relinquish. But it's very little. And the rest of it, we need to get in shape so that the transfer can be made. And I'm reasonably confident that we're going to see that happen in the not-too-distant future.
The Marsh Craig, I've seen anywhere from about 1,000 acres to 1,200 acres are the estimates of how big the marsh is. From your perspective, you probably know precisely how big it is.
I think what happens, John, is there are definitions that include that suggest the marsh is the entire river valley when in fact it isn't. And Dick had mentioned before that one of the city's primary interests was in having developable land, and there is the potential to have that land in the future. It's now presently part of the floodplain. It's dry, non-wetland floodplain area at the north end of the river valley, and that was also a portion of the study area. If we look at the marsh proper, it's about 1,060 acres. So it's in a 1,000-acre neighborhood. So anytime you hear that number bantered about, that's accurate.
When you're done with this negotiation, which could be several more months, I assume?
Yeah, I think so. But it's a lot closer. We are definitely in a better place than we were.
From each of your perspectives, maybe I'll start with Dick, but what is the end result here when you're done?
Well, the end result as far as I'm concerned, and I think as far as the council is concerned, is that we have, first of all, met a direction that the council provided for us, I don't know, quite a while ago. It's a completed business, but just as, if not even more importantly, we, in my mind now, are securing this precious resource. When you have different bodies responsible for different portions, I can only speak for the city, for instance. I know how political bodies work, and quite frankly, sometimes things are done that you regret later on. I just think taking it out of that and putting it in the hands of a state agency that is very concerned about the state's environment is a step in the right direction.
From your perspective, Craig, what will negotiating these deeds, and I assume it's transferring a deed from the city to the state, what will that mean?
That means that the marsh falls under, a large portion of the marsh falls under a single ownership by an entity, that being the Department of Natural Resources, that has the ability to not only protect it, but just as importantly, and perhaps more so, to manage it as an ecological system. As it stands right now, John, what we're looking at is a mosaic of public and private ownership. And, despite a history of various kinds of land use happening in the River Valley, the marsh still retains most of its environmental integrity. My wife and I regularly walk in the marsh, and for the past several weekends, we've been seeing a family of otter out there, which is pretty remarkable in any urban area in the city to see otter. We've got nesting bald eagles and, scores of waterfowl, hundreds of species of birds. It's really a remarkable place. And we want to ensure, as Dick had indicated, that it remains a remarkable place and an incredible resource for the city. And so our intent then is to, as this ownership is consolidated, is to work with interested partners to try to develop the ability to really manage the marsh to make it as productive for wildlife and as compatible for recreation as possible. That then sets the stage, the transfer then sets the stage for us to sit down in earnest with the City of La Crosse and with the Department of Transportation to continue to try to solve these longstanding traffic management issues that kind of loom on the horizon.
You mentioned a mixture of public and private. Just how many parties can claim they have part of the marsh besides the City of La Crosse? Are there a lot of private developers, the City of Onalaska, the town of Madeira, I guess that would be? Do they have interest, the county?
Well, the city is the largest landowner within the river valley, so they own upwards of 500 to 600 acres, I believe, the bulk of which they're looking at transferring to the Department of Natural Resources. There are other landowners in the river valley, and we're not taking the position right now where we're actively contacting them to see if they're interested in selling their property. I think what we want to do is work with the city to provide some level of long-term surety for the future of the property that the city currently owns, and then will consider how to approach private landowners to see if they're interested in working with us to advance marsh protection and marsh management.
Craig, are there properties that belong to the county as well or not?
There is a small amount of acreage that belongs to the county, and we will also be contacting them after we handle the larger transaction with the city. And I do want to say, you know, we do appreciate the city's willingness to move forward on this, and we are especially appreciative of Dick's leadership on this. It's been really instrumental for keeping this issue front and center and for moving it toward resolution.
What kind of condition is the marsh in right now? Is it in pretty good shape?
For an urban wetland, John, it's in pretty good shape. You know, it's taken a whopping over the years. It's by no means a pristine wilderness. It's, you know, crisscrossed by roads and railroad tracks. There's a fair bit of agricultural activity which still takes place in the marsh. There are transmission lines and so on. It's been nibbled away on the edges over the years. But despite all of that, it's still a good resource that provides rock-solid wildlife habitat values and wildlife viewing and outdoor recreation opportunities for the public. So, by and large, it's still a really good, healthy resource. We have the opportunity now to work with, as we consolidate ownership, to work with interested parties to make it healthier.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about negotiations that have been going on in recent months between the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and City of La Crosse to deed several hundred acres of the La Crosse River marsh that the city owns to the DNR for future protection. Our guests are Craig Thompson, a land program manager for the West Central District of the DNR, and La Crosse City Councilmember Dick Swantz, who chairs the city's Board of Public Works. You mentioned the otters that you've seen out there, but it's home to literally dozens of other types of wildlife, and it's important for the migration, is it not?
You know, La Crosse is a uniquely situated community in that it's on one of the nation's largest flyways, within one of the nation's largest flyways, on the nation's largest river, and as a result, we get probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of birds that move through and adjacent to this community every year during spring and fall migration. The marsh provides a critical refueling and resting area for those migratory birds, and so, yes, it's extremely important in that regard.
I know that decades ago the marsh was double the size it is now. Has it shrunken, especially in the last 15 to 20 years that this has kind of been languishing out there, this agreement between the DNR and the city?
Yeah, no, historically, if we look historically over decades, as you had indicated, John, the marsh was twice the size that it used to be. So it's lost about 50% of its once 2,000 acres or so. And that really mirrors not only state trends but national trends in terms of wetland loss since the early 1900s. Over the last 15 to 20 years, we've been fortunate in that we've really hung on to almost everything that's out there. So there's been very little incursion. It's been a status quo situation. And so now the objective is to work with concerned parties to be able to take the marsh and take it up to the next level natural resource-wise so that we can really improve the condition that currently exists out there.
The city's interest in economic development, could you talk a little bit about that, Dick?
Well, a little bit, yes. There are, if in fact any kind of road was built in that area, which, you know, was one of the major reasons for this whole thing starting up, the city sees the potential of some of that property. I think it would be to the east and south maybe of any proposed road that is essentially could be developed. And we're always looking for an opportunity to develop property inside the city. So it's not a very large area, but it's some area. And, of course, it hinges on whether the city ever decided to actually move forward with some transportation piece.
Craig, from your perspective, there is quite a bit of marsh that could be developed and should not be retained, I guess, as either marshland or recreational area?
Actually, John, we have virtually all of the wetland acreage identified for long-term protection, in fact, for permanent protection. The area that Dick is referring to is non-wetland floodplain in the north end of the river valley. And conceptually, what may happen, and of course this depends on agreements by all participating parties and to some extent the community, what may happen is a northern portion of River Valley Drive may be constructed and extended up to the 157 interchange. That would go across a portion of the floodplain at the north end of the valley, effectively isolating a number of acres, and I don't know the exact amount of acreage either, but effectively a number, isolating a number of acres to the west, taking those acres out of the floodplain. They're not wetlands, so they're not environmentally sensitive in that regard, and that would then open that land for development.
You describe it as dry floodplain, but as you know, we're seeing more and more extreme weather events, and who knows what the future holds for flooding in this area. Even if we would get, say, a 200 or a 250-year flooding event, that dry floodplain would remain dry floodplain for the most part?
Well, that dry floodplain is just dry floodplain on a periodic basis. It's floodplain. So during the 100-year event, when the event that occurs once every 100 years, it actually is underwater. And the reason the state of Wisconsin manages floodplains is because, and local units of government, is because they are important in terms of managing floodwaters to prevent damage to property and personal injury. What we do when we work with the Department of Transportation in the city on projects like this is very carefully model whatever changes in hydraulics may occur in the river as a result of building this road. So we have the ability to anticipate what the change in the flood profile might look like and how that affects surrounding lands. And our goal when we do this is to prevent there being any future damage as a result of changing conditions in the river valley. So we're very mindful of the very thing that you're bringing up, John.
We don't have anybody from the DOT here, unfortunately, but maybe you can fill in for them and speak for them, since they contacted you initially and wanted to get this going. As you know, there's a great history with the marsh and transportation and future transportation planning. I think it was late 90s was the most recent referendum that was held. And people in the city of La Crosse fairly overwhelmingly said, we are not interested in, you know, building a new north-south corridor through this area. So the question for you is, if the city deeds this land to the DNR, do you anticipate the DOT trying to work with the DNR to help bring a road through the marsh?
Well, what I anticipate will happen, John, is after the transfer, and I assume that the discussions that are currently underway about traffic planning in the River Valley and in the community at large will continue. And whether or not we end up with a road in the River Valley, and I'm not going to say the marsh because we're not looking at any wetland acres that would be impacted for the concept that's currently being floated, but rather floodplain impacts, whether that would happen or not is going to be largely up to the city to determine with assistance from the Department of Transportation. And where we feed into the process is as it relates to accessing the environmental and floodplain impacts associated with doing something like that. So, you know, we'll be at the table, we'll be providing feedback and discussions or in participating in those discussions, but it's really going to be a community and DOT decision as to whether to move forward with that or not, provided we can overcome any environmental concerns that may develop during the discussion process.
Dick, what is the city's role in all this with the transportation? Are you trying to build in some sort of assurance that the city of La Crosse or its residents can have some sort of say over what happens with transportation?
Some sort of say, definitely. And I think that's as was indicated by Craig. It's not something that the DOT is going to make a decision on unilaterally and all of a sudden we're going to have a road through the marsh. I just think that the issue of that you raised, John, essentially we're becoming more and more aware of the fact that one of the fallouts of the climate change we're experiencing are more dramatic events, more precipitation coming down in shorter periods of time and all that kind of thing. So the marsh, in addition to providing all this wonderful scenery and the like, serves a real purpose for our community in terms of a reservoir to help address that issue. And my guess is if ever there is anything done, people are going to be very sensitive to that. And if there is a footprint, it'll be a minimal footprint, all that kind of thing. So I think I can't speak for the city council. I don't know of anybody that can, by the way. But I think there's a sense that we need to have someone who's going to be very sensitive to what I just said, responsible for the management of that beautiful area.
Greg, assuming this transfer goes forward, what will the role of the DNR be in the marsh, and how do you envision the marsh playing out over the next 20 or 50 years?
We haven't gotten to the point, John, where we have had the opportunity to sit down and discuss the nitty-gritty of marsh management over the next 20 years. Conceptually, I think what we'd like is to have the ability to begin to manipulate water levels out there so that when a drought condition, for instance, that we had this summer, if we were able to hold more water in the marsh on behalf of wildlife, that would be considered a really positive development. We don't have that capability right now. I think we also want to look at the opportunities to provide expanded, where appropriate, outdoor recreation opportunities, if those in fact are out there. The marsh receives a lot of use now. Perhaps in the future there will be demands on the marsh recreationally that we're not currently anticipating. And, of course, we try to be in the position of if not anticipating, at least reacting to those in a positive way. So what we want to do is sit down with the city and other interested entities and talk about how we can actually improve the wildlife habitat values and recreational values of the marsh long term.
I know somebody from the university earlier this year was examining potential lead problems in the marsh. Are there environmentally sensitive areas that may need remediation from what you know about the marsh?
I would consider all the wetlands, John, to be environmentally sensitive in the River Valley. Whether or not there is remediation needed in regard to lead deposition as a result of the trap range that used to be on the southern end of the marsh, I don't know. I know that they're finding lead out there. I don't know. I know efforts are underway to try to determine whether it is an environmental hazard or not. I've not had the opportunity to talk to the university folks yet to see what kinds of progress they've made in that regard, so I'm just not sure.
Are you aware of any other environmental hotspots out there?
I am not.
What do you have to do to finalize this deed transfer? And how long will it take?
The devil's in the details, from the engineering office, which is the body that I tend to talk to most about this. And it's a matter now of getting deeds identified and transferred and the like. And I'm told that we are well beyond the 50% point here in terms of getting that finished. That's why I'm optimistic that this is not going to be in the very distant future that we're going to be ready to make the transfer.
And from our standpoint, John, once the paperwork is done in regard to the transfer and the city is ready to actually convey title to us, what we need to do is take the package to our administration in Madison and make sure that they're comfortable with it. It also goes to the Natural Resources Board for approval. So there are still levels of approval that we need to go through from an agency standpoint in order to be able to accept the transfer.
And what happens, Craig, from your perspective, once the transfer is done? Things just sit for a while, or will the Department of Natural Resources actually take over management after the deed is transferred?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. I think from a practical standpoint, things are just going to be status quo for a while because it'll take us time to ramp up in terms of planning and in terms of actually acquiring the resources that are necessary either internally or from external partners that might result in some change in terms of our ability to manage water or start to begin to fight some of the invasive species that are in the marsh and so on. So I don't think the public is going to notice anything short term. Long term, I hope they start to see some really great things out there.
Craig Thompson is a land program manager for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He and La Crosse City Council member Dick Swans talked with WPR's John Davis this week about negotiations to transfer control of about half of the La Crosse River Valley Marsh from the city to state ownership. Those negotiations are expected to be completed early next year. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. An audit confirmed this week that La Crosse Land Trust, Mississippi Valley Conservancy, did properly use state and city funds to purchase and protect bluffland, ending a drawn-out, bitter dispute among the parties. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the City of La Crosse questioned MVC's accounting practices and expenses earlier this year. MVC officials said all along they did not do anything wrong. MVC Executive Director Tim Jacobson says as part of the resolution, they'll finally transfer about 1,000 acres of bluffland and marshland to the city next week.
It had always been the intent of the program that the city would be the ultimate owner of the properties that we acquired when we used city funds for purchasing them.
With the completion of the audit, MVC will once again be able to receive state grants and city funds. Jacobson says they have their eyes on a few properties that could use protection status. Private attorney Phil Addis represented the city of La Crosse during the audit. He says MVC will return $400,000 to the city that will go towards protecting blufflands. Also, MVC's contract with the city, which was set to expire at the end of this year, has been terminated.
Anybody who wants to come forward and say, hey, I've got land on the bluff I'd like to see preserved for the future, I'd like to discuss with the city the idea of either selling it or donating it to the city. A person can now do that directly through the Park and Recreation Department or through the city, or go to MVC, and MVC will approach the city. Prior to this, you had to do everything through MVC.
Addis says city-owned bluffs will remain public and will not be developed on. The city council still needs to approve the settlement. Coming up next, a merger of the Hope Academy and the Family and Children's Center is designed to maintain services for teenage mothers. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.